It isn't the cars. It isn't how big your bank account is. It isn't vacations. All those things are fabulous. They're great and they're meant to be enjoyed in life. But that isn't meaning. That isn't where you should be finding your meaning in your life. Because you know what? If that's where you're looking for it, you're never going to find it because it's not there. Meaning in your life comes from your service to others. It's Evie here. Welcome to EML Radio, where we are always talking truth. All of those things you need to hear that nobody else is willing to say. Hello, my friends. Welcome back to another episode. I have a story to share with you today, something that actually just happened this morning that's worth sharing and dedicating an entire podcast episode to. So if I had to choose a topic that we're discussing today, I guess it would be humanity. So I was out walking my dog this morning, like I do every morning, and we were kind of coming around the corner by the church that's a few blocks from our house. It's St. Thomas Catholic Church. It's an absolutely gorgeous church. It's actually the church that we belong to. And Sydney always, that's inevitably where she likes to take a dump, is at the church. So, of course, she did her normal routine, and there's a big dumpster at the back of the church. And so that's where I dump the dog bag so I don't have to carry it with me the whole rest of the walk. So I was in the back parking lot and dumped the doggy bag in the dumpster. And then I just continued to walk through the parking lot. So I'm walking through the parking lot, and about probably 20 yards ahead of me, I just see a lady crossing the parking lot, walking over to the street where her car is, where her car was parked. Didn't think anything of it. And the church was kind of busy in the morning. I don't know. It was about 9:30 this morning. I don't know what was going on there. But anyway, there was quite a few cars around. So I just happened to notice this gal walking. And as I get up to like the door where she had just come out of the church, she's already in her car. I see this little boy walking, starting to walk out through the parking lot. And he definitely cannot be older than maybe three, like just three probably. And he is this cute little dude. He's got his bright yellow rain boots on. And Sydney just loves kids. So of course she just starts wagging her tail, and he is like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness, look at your new puppy. Hi, puppy. Hi, puppy. Oh, I love your puppy. I'm like, well, thank you. She loves kids. She would want to play with you. And he's like, oh, I love to play with puppies too. What's your puppy's name? And I said, her name's Sydney. And he was like, hey, hey. And he's trying to kind of get the attention of the woman who is now sitting in the car on the street. And he doesn't call her mom, and I'm trying to remember what he referred to her as, something like Ta-Ta or something like that. I mean, the kid, like, I mean, he's barely three, so he can barely talk in full sentences. And he says, look at their new puppy. Look at how cute their new puppy is. So he says, he's just the most outgoing little bugger. And he says, he's petting Sydney and loving her up. And he says, what's your name? And I said, well, my name's Evie. What's your name? And he said, well, my name is Joshua. And is your puppy, is that a bulldog puppy? And I said, no, she's a boxer. And he goes, oh, I love boxer puppies too. So he's just playing with them. I'm like, yeah, I love pretty much all kinds of dogs, Joshua. And he says to me, can I come to your house? And it took me back a second, and I was like, well, not today. And I look back at the car because I want this woman to know I'm not like some weirdo that's going to like take her kid, but her is this kid talking to me. And I look over at her, and he's saying, look at their puppy. And I wave to her and smile, and she doesn't really smile. And then she starts signaling to him to like get back to the car. So I said, well, I better go, Joshua. Have a good day. And he's like, yeah, you too. Bye. So I walk through the parking lot, don't think anything of it, other than I'm like, God, I love my walks because inevitably, those are the times where I just feel really creative. And a lot of the content or the subjects that I write on in my Substack comes from times like that, either when I'm out for a walk or in the gym, something along those lines. So as I walked away from this cute little guy, all I could think of was, man, we are born so innocent and just genuinely full of joy. This kid was just precious and super outgoing. And it made me think, you know, that's where we all started. And like, what happens? You know, even those people that claim to love us the most kind of inflict pain, and maybe even unintentionally, but the world just kind of tumbles us around and sharpens our edges. So I'm thinking about how I can put this into succinct words and write an article on it. And I have my headset back in because I remember I was listening to a podcast. Well, not to a podcast. I was listening to a talk by Jordan Peterson. It was the commencement speech that he was giving at Hillsdale College. So anyway, I put my earbuds back in and I'm now crossing the street. And I don't know why I did, but I look back and here is that little boy running down the sidewalk as the woman in that car was driving away. That happened like, God, 6 hours ago now, and I'm still rattled. And you know, like you've been in those positions where you're like, is what I'm seeing really happening? So I just stopped in the middle of the street. And I'm watching this unfold, and he's running down the sidewalk in his cute little rain boots. And I'm not kidding you guys. He is definitely not over 3 years old. And he's saying, no, wait, please, please, please don't leave me. Wait. So now I'm starting to walk back there. She stops her car and throws it in reverse. And he gets the car door open and gets in the car. And I am literally just dead in my tracks, like a million different thoughts going through my head. Like, am I going to go confront this woman? Because the car is still parked there. And you know, I'm sure you've been there at some time in your life where you're having this kind of internal dialogue and battle with yourself. Like, do I intervene? Do I not? I know listening to the story, it's easy to go, well, of course you do. But we've all been there. We don't always just necessarily go running up. So as I'm literally kind of standing in the middle of the street trying to get my thoughts together, she gets out and she must have buckled his seatbelt and she takes off. And I don't have words. So I start walking and I'm not listening to my headset anymore. I can't put my headset back in because I honestly feel like I'm going to vomit. Because in a like 60 second time period, this precious, so funny, cute, adorable, innocent, sweet boy goes from absolute pure joy in just having this great conversation with me and playing with my dog to 60 seconds later, if even 60 seconds later, complete and utter terror, chasing after this woman in her car, thinking that he is being left. So I'm walking and I think, okay, fuck that. This is not okay. She came out of the church. I got to go back to the church. So took me about 2 blocks to get my wits about me. I walked back to the church, tied Sydney up outside, and there was a lot of cars there still. And it's a Friday morning. It was about 9:15 in the morning, maybe 9:30. And so I thought, well, someone's going to be in there. So I went into the church office and rang the doorbell, and the gal from the office came out and I told her this story. And as soon as I even tried to tell her, it's like I just broke down into tears. I was like, It was truly horrible. And someone from the church needs to talk to this woman. And I said, hopefully it'll be Father. It needs to be someone though, because there is something clearly wrong. If this woman just so easily pulls away from a three-year-old child to, I guess, like threaten him because he was lagging behind and dilly-dallying and she wasn't okay with the pace at which he was joining the car. I mean, it's just hard to wrap your head around. So needless to say, the woman at the parish office was as equally distraught as I was over this. And, you know, so I left. You know, I thanked her and told her that I really hope that someone will talk to this woman. She clearly, and I'm almost kind of glad it wasn't me. I'm like, at first I was like, oh my God, why didn't I run up to the car sooner? And then I thought about it as a couple hours had gone by and I'm literally physically ill now about what I just saw this little boy go through. At first I was like, God, like you should have said something sooner. But you know, now in hindsight, now that I've kind of settled myself a little bit, I'm glad that I didn't. Because as hard as this is to even say after watching something so absolutely cruel, the last thing this woman probably needed is someone getting in her face and yelling at her about this, because inevitably that's what would have happened. Like, I am quick to anger, and I think anybody in that position would have just been so floored. If you could have seen how heartbreaking it was, your gut reaction is to be like, what the fuck are you doing to this woman? But then you know what? What would have happened? She would have took it out on him as soon as she pulled away. And that is the last thing I would want. So in hindsight now, I'm glad that it actually unfolded the way it did. And I'm glad that I went back to the church. And it reminded me of an instance back when, and I can't even believe that this just came popping into my head after this morning, is there was a time, oh geez, I probably couldn't have been, I lived in Texas at the time, so I was in my 20s. And I was at Walmart, of all places. And imagine that this would happen there. And there was a young family in front of us who the dad like totally backhanded the little girl when she was sitting in the cart and he slapped her. And I didn't do anything. And it's like haunted me ever since then. Like I always pride myself in standing up for what's right. But in that instance, I didn't. And you know, what was so terrible is that the little girl's mom didn't do anything. The cashier didn't do anything. It was just horrible. But anyway, today it just brought back that memory to my mind. And how I've kind of just never forgiven myself for not doing what was right at that time. I was in my 20s, I guess. Maybe it is an excuse. Maybe it's more of an explanation, not an excuse, because there really isn't any excuse. But it brought about a lot of thoughts to me. And primarily of which is we're seeing a lack of humanity that isn't surprising if you are familiar with history. But I guess naively, I never thought that I would be living during a time where we were seeing such a lack of humanity and just respect for other people's lives. You know, and I think it's easy to hear this story about this little boy, and your first reaction is like, who is this woman? And oh my God, like the church better do something about that. And what a despicable person, and on and on. But you know, when we hear or see terrible things, we never really let them settle within us. And it's always easy to put someone else or other people out there as the bad guys, as the villains, and us as the good guys. But that's just not true. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who wrote The Gulag Archipelago, says it best in that evil runs through the heart of every human. And no, are most of us doing cruel acts to young kids like this woman did? Of course not. But every time we see something wrong in the world and we deflect it away from us and say, well, yeah, that's them, not me, we are losing the entire, we're losing the entire commonality amongst all humans, and that we all have the potential for evil. If World War II taught us nothing, it, aside from the war, it, the one thing that World War II showed us is the actual true evil capability of humankind. That's undeniable. And so we have to remember that, because no, we're not, like I said, most of us that are sane people aren't out there and pulling away from a three-year-old in order to like terrify them into walking faster and getting in the car faster next time. We're not doing that. But you know what? We all are guilty of doing a lot of things that inflict pain and suffering on other people. Maybe not as severe, but we're doing it. And we are doing it at a level right now that I personally find terrifying. The way humans are speaking about one another, the kind of shutting ourselves away from one another that we're all doing, it isn't going to end well. And the solution, I think, and I know I've been guilty of this too, I think that the solution that we're all looking for is that there's going to be some political solution to all of this. And I'm here to tell you that that is not the solution. Repairing inhumanity comes from all of us becoming more humane. All of us doing more to make the world better. And I know that sounds so cliche, and I swear I sound like a broken record when I say it. But I think people think, yeah, yeah, I need to be better, do better. But they don't actually really let those words sit and resonate within their own soul and ask themselves, what does it really mean to be better? Because inhumanity isn't going to be solved out there. It starts individually with all of us. And one of the battles we're facing is that we are being drawn into polarizing groups, which lessens each of our individual responsibility to do our part in the world. I told you that when I was on this walk, that I was listening to the commencement speech at Hillsdale College that Jordan Peterson was giving. And I'm going to play you, it's kind of mind-blowing. I'm going to play you a four-minute clip of that I was listening to right before this incident with this little boy happened this morning. I don't believe that every single interaction we have has some very deep-seated meaning. I don't. But I do believe that things happen for a reason. And I don't know what the reason is that I happen to be walking my dog at the very moment that this little boy, Joshua, was walking across that parking lot. But I know there is a reason. So listen to this clip that I was listening to right before this all occurred. The message in those words at that commencement speech are for all of us, no matter what position we are in to be doing something for someone that has less than we do. For someone that is in a harder place than we are in. You know, I hope in some way that maybe the timing was meant to be. I honestly feel like in my heart and soul, the timing of me being there when that little boy was walking across the parking lot, I feel like it was for a reason. And I'm really hoping that going back to the church, speaking up, and maybe even recording it here, bring some attention to a little boy's life who clearly that's not okay. There's, if that's what's going on in public, you can imagine what's going on in private. And I won't speculate. But I'm hoping that I'm doing a little piece of my part to bring some more humanity back to this little boy's life. So I want to challenge all of you guys to think about what more could you be doing? We all can be doing more. You know, you think about the mere fact that you're listening to this podcast, you're probably fairly functional, right? Like we all have our issues, we all have our hurdles and our crosses to bear in our life. But the fact that you're either, you know, out for a walk, on your phone, in your car, you've probably got at least the bare minimum put together in your life. And think about how difficult these past couple of years have been for you. Like, we've all suffered. Now think about those people who were barely hanging on when all of the chaos that COVID brought, they were barely hanging on. Those people now are completely off the cliff. If they were barely surviving before the chaos, they're not surviving at all now. And how do I know that this woman, not excusing her, I'm explaining. There's a big difference between excuses and explanations. Maybe this woman wasn't quite so on the edge two and a half years ago, and now she is. She needs help just as much as this little boy needs help. And I think all of us collectively have a responsibility. If we want to get out of this shitstorm that we're in, we have to stop relying on politicians to take care of it or whoever's group we identify with. The responsibility doesn't lie in politicians or in the group or in the government. The responsibility to change the world resides in you. You're responsible. I'm responsible. And the beautiful part about it is that each of us individually, we're born for a reason. No one else is you. No one else is me. No one else can bring to the world what you can bring to the world. And it is so tragic for us to be lumping ourselves into some group because it diminishes us as individuals. And ultimately, it diminishes our responsibility to do our part to make the world a better place. And it doesn't happen by identifying with your group or deferring the responsibility onto someone else. We do not get to put the responsibility of our life on anyone else. And there is unprecedented levels of cruelty, suffering, struggle going on right in our own communities. And each of us can be doing more. We can. And not only can we have a moral obligation to do so. If we want to finish out our life knowing that we did all we could to make the world a better place, then we have to start adding that into our everyday. Think about, this is great. The number one area people tell me that they know for a fact they are wasting away their life is on social media or on their phone. Like, hands down, 10 to 1, those are the responses I get when I ask people, like, what could they be doing differently in their life? I think the numbers are somewhere around, like, 4 to 6 hours a day the average American spends on their phone. Just think about what the world would look like if you even took 1 hour, 1 hour out of each of your days to do something to improve the lives of others in your community. Take this little boy, for instance. There's a lot of things, instead of just saying this woman is an awful human being, which clearly she needs some serious help. But instead of that, can we go help? Can we go help maybe single mothers? If you have a huge opinion in the case of abortion, can you do something about that? If you are completely pro-life, no matter what, instead of calling your senator or instead of talking about it on social media, could you maybe go out and find out where your time could be spent educating on the front end and helping young women who may feel that abortion is their only option? Don't go out and hold a picket sign. Go do something. Look real people in the eyes and help them. Whatever it is that you're passionate about, go out and work specifically with those people. If you're going to wait for policies or the government or your so-called group to fix it, none of these things are ever going to get fixed. Because what is the group? The group is nothing other than just a combination of individuals. And the trouble is about 99% of the individuals want to just kind of keep to their own self and abdicate all of the responsibility for changing things to other people. You are the group. You are the individuals that make up the group. Figure out where you can spend just a little bit more of your time to help the people who are struggling, and find the topic that means the most to you. Whatever it is, if it's the homeless, if it's people that are food deprived, that's our focus in my business, Kopow, right? We're helping people that don't have enough to eat. Hey, because you can't help everybody. And I get when you think that way, it gets overwhelming and you're like, God, I don't even know where to start. Start with one area. Put down your phone. No one needs to spend 4 or 6 hours a day on their telephone and then say, on their device, and then claim that the world is just such a shitty place and everybody in the world is suffering. Start doing your part. Put your phone down for 1 hour a day and go out into the community and make a difference. So this tore me up today, honestly. I still feel physically ill from it. I can't get that sweet little boy out of my head. You know, the best I can do was talk about it. I can write about it. I can do my part to bring more awareness to all of you listening. Just a little wake-up call. Like, we all have to step up. We all have to do our part. And I know for a fact that is my purpose in life. That was what I'm here to do. And I know that is my purpose because I truly believe that we find the meaning in our own life when we serve others. When we're doing something that is giving back and something that is bigger than us, we finally have our eyes open to, like, you know what? This is actually the purpose and what's meaningful in life. It isn't the cars. It isn't how big your bank account is. It isn't vacations. All those things are fabulous. They're great and they're meant to be enjoyed in life. But that isn't meaning. That isn't where you should be finding your meaning in your life. Because you know what? If that's where you're looking for it, you're never going to find it because it's not there. Meaning in your life comes from your service to others. So here's the truth I'm going to leave you with today. We all have these beautiful lives. It's like we all have this miracle given to us that we're even walking on this earth. There isn't one aspect of being alive that truly doesn't just feel amazing to me. I don't always like it, and it's fucking hard a lot of the time. But it's a miracle. Here we all are, inhabiting this planet. And we have the opportunity to do such wonderful things. To leave it in a better place than when we got here. And right now, we're doing nothing but tearing it all down. You have a beautiful life. But I just don't think you're doing enough with it. Let that sink in a little bit. And find out how you can help in your local communities to make the world a little bit better. I have faith in everybody that we all can do this if, as long as we all pull our own weight and we all do our part. So thank you very much for tuning in. Be thinking about Joshua and be really hoping and praying with me that bringing some attention to the incident that I saw this morning can do something positive to bring some change in this little boy's life. There obviously is potential there. You know, it was a sad fact that they were coming out of the church is somewhat even more disturbing. But you know what? Cruelty and heartache and those sort of things happen everywhere, even in churches. They're not immune either. So let's hope and pray that some attention can be brought to Joshua's life. Thank you very much for tuning in.